I want to put a picture on the screen this morning, and then I want to ask you, do you recognize this person? It's a very important person. As a matter of fact, this man was a medical doctor in the early 1600s. His name was Dr. William Harvey, and he made one of the most significant discoveries of the second millennium. Some people put him in a list of the top 10 most influential people of the second millennium. Up until this point in history, most people believed that food was converted into blood by the liver and was then consumed as fuel by the body. But Dr. Harvey's discovery greatly changed everything about our understanding concerning the circulatory system. Dr. Harvey discovered that it was actually the heart that pumped blood through the system, through the body, and that everything else centered around the heart. Dr. Harvey's discovery led to our current understanding today of everything we know about cardiovascular health and heart disease. Significant discovery. Everything concerning our health really flowed out of the heart. Well, as we this morning continue our journey through the wonderful Old Testament book of Proverbs, we come to a discovery that is very similar to that which Dr. Harvey revealed. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're studying together through the book of Proverbs. And we entered on a journey together, a four-month journey that really has three parts to it. First of all, we said it's a personal journey. We've asked every person that calls Hope their home over the next 4 months to read every day the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. By that, we mean this. Today is November the 4th, so this morning you should have read Proverbs chapter what? Four. There you go. You're catching on. I mean, we're 2 months in and you got it now. We're reading the proverb every day and we're journaling out of that proverb, the wisdom that God's speaking into our lives. Second, it's a family journey. We've asked every family to gather weekly to discuss wise behavior, to take the principles that God's speaking into their heart out of the Word and share those as a family. Thirdly, it's a community journey. Our whole church community together is going through this book together. In all of our services, both Hope for Kids and student services, and in our weekend service, all of our connection groups, we're all digging into Proverbs to seek everlasting wisdom for everyday life. This morning, we're going to look at a verse out of Proverbs chapter 4 that deals with this subject of guarding your heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Look at it on the screen. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. One of the things that I do in preparing to preach and teach God's Word is I'll read verses in multiple English translations. One of those translations that I read is called the New Living Translation. And as I read this verse, as I read it to you off the screen, that's the New American Standard, what I teach and preach out of. But as I read the New Living Translation, it really captured this verse. And I wanted to put this on the screen. And I want us to read it out loud together off the screen. All right, you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything else you do. Above all else, guard your heart. Now, it's important that we understand what the word heart means. The word heart here is not the same word that Dr. Harvey wrote all of his discovery about. It's not that blood-pumping organ in our body that pumps blood throughout our circulatory system. But when the Bible uses the word heart here, it's referring to the seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The heart is really the Bible's expression for the real you. You see, the real you is not what's on the outside. The real you is not a nose and eyes and ears and hands and feet. That's not the real you. The real you is on the inside. And when the Bible talks about the heart, the Bible is talking about the real us, the us that's on the inside. And here the writer of Proverbs says we're to guard or to watch over our heart. The word guard or watch over literally means to protect from danger, especially by paying watchful attention. So wisdom is here teaching us that you and I are to be very careful concerning the influences that we allow into our lives. Here's what the writer of Proverbs is telling us today. It's very important that we guard our heart. We're to pay close attention to the influences that we allow on the inside, because what we allow on the inside affects everything about the way we live our life. Now, I want to read the rest of this chapter. Go back to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. And we're going to read verses 23 again through the end, through verse 27. Look what it says. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Here the writer of Proverbs is speaking to us wisdom concerning guarding our heart. And I want to break it down for you in three statements. Here they are. First of all, wisdom demands I guard my heart. Wisdom demands I guard my heart. The writer of Proverbs is here clearly communicating that guarding my heart is not an option. It's not just a suggestion. And we see that in the way he writes that phrase. Put that phrase back up on the screen. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Look at that. Watch over. That little word phrase, watch over, is a phrase that literally is an imperative. By that I mean it is a command. It's not just a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's a command of God. God has commanded us as followers of Him to guard our heart. As followers of Jesus, we realize that life has been entrusted to us by the Father. And we are commanded to carefully watch over and to guard the life that God has given us. The second phrase is that phrase, with all diligence. With all diligence. That is a phrase that doesn't speak as the first one from a position of authority. That phrase, watch over, speaks as a command. But this phrase, with all diligence, is one that speaks from the passion of his heart. A lot of times as we read the book of Proverbs and other places in Scripture, we lose the emotion that is really in the text of Scripture. And here as we're reading this verse, there's a lot of emotion in this text. Don't forget the context. Remember, the book of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a father speaking to his son. As you read the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, every chapter begins with, "My son, listen to my words. My son, listen to what I'm saying." Over and over and over again, that phrase, "My son." Well, it's written from the perspective of a father speaking to his son. As you read verse 23, what you're really hearing is a father speaking from life experience, grabbing his son by the shoulders and saying, "Son, above everything else you do, with all diligence, as of a first priority, guard your heart." Wisdom demands I guard my heart. Let me give you a second statement. Not only does wisdom demand I guard my heart, but secondly, wisdom demands I guard my heart to protect the life God has for me. Wisdom demands I guard my heart to protect the life God has for me. When the Bible here says watch over or guard your heart, and it's a command, remember that that's not a command given to rob us of the joy and pleasure in life. Whenever God says do this, God's saying help yourself. Whenever God says don't do this, God's saying don't hurt yourself. The commands of God are given to us as His followers to bring blessing and favor and value into our life, never to rob us. And here when God says we're to guard our heart, we're to watch over the influences that we allow on the inside, He's saying that to protect us so that we can enjoy the very life that God has for us. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you believe that? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. God said, watch over your heart. Why? Look at this on the screen. For from it flow the springs of life. Here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. Everything that God desires to do through my life, He does out of the overflow of what's happening in my life. And everything else in life is affected by what I allow on the inside. The influences that I allow in my life affect everything else in my life. That little word, for. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For. That little word, for, literally means for this purpose or for this reason or because. The writer of Proverbs says, watch over your heart, guard your heart, protect your life from influences. Why? Because everything that comes out of your life is simply the overflow of what you allow in your life. Now, I make no claims to be a computer expert. People that know me well know that computers and I don't get along real well. I always have problems with computers. My generation has passed me by on this whole computer thing. But here's what I do know simply about computers. Computers can only put out what you put in. A computer can't do anything that you haven't programmed it to do. If it does not have that particular program on it, that computer cannot do it. It can only give out what is put in. And if you put garbage in, guess what you get out? You get garbage out, right? Say that with me. Garbage in, garbage out. That's exactly what the book of Proverbs is saying. The book of Proverbs is saying what comes out of my life is simply going to be the overflow of what I put in my life. And if I allow influences in my life that are garbage, if I allow influences in my life that are not pleasing to God and don't honor God, guess what's going to come out of my life? A life that doesn't please God and doesn't honor God. What comes in is what comes out. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, guard your heart, protect your life. It's not a spirit of legalism that says, don't do this and don't do that. It's a spirit of liberty that says, enjoy the life that God has given you. But the only way to enjoy it is to protect and to guard your heart. The writer of Proverbs said it another way in the book, in chapter 23. Look at this verse on the screen, chapter 23, verse 7. Read it out loud with me. For as a man thinks within himself, so he is. What comes in is what comes out. Now with that foundation, I want to give you the third principle. We're going to spend the rest of our time here. Wisdom practices this principle in the affairs of everyday life. Wisdom practices this principle in the affairs of everyday life. The writer of Proverbs says we're to watch over our heart. One of the definitions of that little phrase, watch over, is this. To keep a sharp lookout. To keep someone or something protected from an enemy without. That's what that phrase, watch over, means. To keep a sharp lookout. When I read that definition this week, immediately something triggered in my mind. When I was a kid growing up, my dad loved those old black and white cowboy movies. Now, I don't know why he loved those, and I don't know why he made me watch them. I mean, there were cartoons on, and I thought those were much better. But over time, I kind of grew a taste for those old cowboy movies. And I, to this day, one of my favorite actors is John Wayne. I love to watch his old cowboy movies. But in the old cowboy movies, there were always these scenes where there'd be the fort. And the cavalry would be inside the fort. And all the enemy would be outside the fort. And they would always post some guard up on the wall of the fort. Now, what was the guard's job? The guard's job was to watch for the enemy, right? To protect what was on the inside because the value was on the inside and they were protecting that. And they put a guard up to keep a lookout. Listen, here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. You and I are to guard. We're to keep our eyes open. We're to pay close attention to the influences that we allow into our lives. Why? Because we have an enemy. And our enemy is alive and well in the city of Las Vegas. Simon Peter writes about this enemy in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to what he writes. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, Pastor Vance, surely, I mean, you've got a college degree, you have a master's degree, surely you're not going to stand before an educated group of people and tell us that there is a real, literal entity out there called the devil. You see, that's exactly what he wants us to think. You say, how do you know there's a real, literal devil? Well, the same book that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, is the same book that says, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You see, we have an enemy in this world, and one of the ways the enemy comes against us is by influences that he tries to allow to creep into our lives. And the Bible says he comes like a roaring lion. You say, well, that'd be easy to spot. I mean, if there's a roaring lion in the room, I think we'd all know he's here. Well, that's because we don't understand how a roaring lion attacks. I've been to Africa at least 10 times, and when I go to Africa, one of the things I always try to do is make sure somebody in the group is slower than I am. Everybody in the group doesn't have to be slower, but we need at least one guy slower than me. You always need to make sure you're not just, if you're on the plane headed to Africa and you're the slowest guy in the group, you got a target on your back, man. I'm just telling you. But in Africa, I've met with different wild game hunters and other things in Africa and listened to them talk about the roaring lions and how they go about hunting lions and how lions hunt their prey. Well, the way a lion hunts his prey is a lion doesn't go roaring through the jungle. A lion slithers through the grass, staying out of sight and out of sound. And at the very last minute, so as to startle his prey, the lion roars. When you hear the roar, it's too late. We have an enemy who's lurking through this world, seeking to influence us on the inside so that he can rob it. You see, the enemy, as a believer, the enemy cannot rob you of your salvation. But he can rob you of the joy of the life that God has for you. So the writer of Proverbs says, I'm to guard my heart. Then after he says that, he gives us three examples. Now this is not an exhaustive list, but if you read this in its context, verse 23 is kind of a springboard into verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. He gives us three examples of how we guard our heart. I want to show them to you this morning. First of all, we guard our heart by guarding our ears, what we listen to. Look at what he said in verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Here's what he's saying. You're to guard your heart. You're to watch over your heart above everything else you do. Protect what you allow on the inside. And here's the first way to do it. Guard what you listen to. Be careful what you allow in through the ears. He said, put a deceitful mouth far away from you and put devious speech far from you. The word deceitful is a word that literally is the word picture crooked. If truth is a straight line, this word deceitful means anything that veers off from the straight line. Now, sometimes it may be way, way off. Sometimes it may be just slightly off center. But here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. Guard your heart. Put that far out. Don't listen to it. Then he says the word devious. Put devious speech. The word devious is the word picture for foul or ruined. The writer of Proverbs is saying we're to guard our ears. We're to guard what we listen to. Now, he here in this text only gives us the example of what other people say, what comes out of other people's mouths. And that's an example of how we need to guard our... Listen, you need to be careful the people that you allow to speak into your life. You need to make sure there are people around you that are speaking truth into your life. But this doesn't just apply to what comes out of people's mouth. We take in now today stuff in our ears through a lot of ways. For example, we live in the iPod generation. Everybody's got an iPod. Man, if you get on an airplane, I fly a lot around the country speaking and sharing what God's doing in Las Vegas and raising partners to work around the world. And this last week, I think I topped 80,000 miles for this year on an airplane. And I've learned the trick when you get on an airplane. Just get an iPod, put the things in your... You don't even have to be listening to anything. Just sit down and kind of bob your head a little bit. And if you don't want to talk to anybody, you're fine. Because everybody's got their earplugs in, man. Everybody's listening to something. We're in a generation that is constantly taking in information through the ears. Here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. Not with a spirit of legalism that says, don't do this, don't do that. But with a spirit of liberty, I'm to guard what I allow on the inside. Because what comes into me is what affects everything that comes out of me. I'm to guard my heart by guarding my ears. Secondly, we're to guard our heart. Well, before I do that, let me give you the key verse. With every one of these, I want to give you a key verse that will help you apply this principle. Here's the key verse, Philippians 4, verse 8. I call it the Philippians 4, 8 test. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Here's what you do. You take what you're listening to, and you hold it up to the standard of Philippians 4:8. Does it pass the test? True, honorable, pure, right, excellent, praiseworthy. If it doesn't, don't listen to it. Secondly, we guard our heart not only by guarding our ears, but by guarding our eyes. If this is sounding familiar at all, we sang a little song as kids. I think right out of this proverb. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Remember that? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We sang that. What was that principle? Guard your heart. And it's not just for little kids. It's for moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads too. Look what it says in verse 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. You know what he says here? One of the ways we guard our heart is by guarding our eyes. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about wandering eyes. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Let me ask you a question. Do you have wandering eyes? You see, what I take in as an influence in my life through my eyes affects everything that comes out of my life. Garbage in, garbage out. There's a lot of examples we could talk about here under this subject, but one I want to mention I think is the most powerful influence in this generation. And it is the internet. People all across our country, all around the world, spend hour upon hour taking in information through the eyes. Surfing the web. If we didn't learn anything from 9/11, I hope we learned this. A great tool in the hands of the wrong people can become a great weapon. Airplanes are a great tool, but in the hands of the wrong people, airplanes became a great weapon against our country. The internet is a powerful tool. I can't even imagine life without the internet anymore. I mean, it's just one of those things we take for granted. It hadn't been around that long, and yet it just is so much a part of the fabric of our society. It's a great tool, but in the hands of the enemy, what is a great tool has become a very lethal weapon. Have a good friend who's a Christian psychologist and has been for over 30 years in Memphis, Tennessee. And he said that the age of the internet has been the greatest onslaught of the enemy against Christian men that he has ever witnessed. Our enemy has lurked in and created this, or has jumped into this thing that was a great tool. And before we heard the roar, he's turned it into a lethal weapon. And now it's almost too late. lives, families, children, adults being destroyed through this thing called the internet. And I'm not against the internet. Again, I think it's a phenomenal tool, but we must guard our heart when it comes to this issue of the internet. We got to guard what comes into our eyes. If statistics are true, over half the people sitting in this room, born again Christians, over half of us are struggling with issues concerning the internet. I want to give you four practical suggestions just quickly concerning the internet. This is not an exhaustive list, but let me give you four practical suggestions. Number one, never allow children or teenagers unsupervised access. If you are allowing children and teenagers unsupervised access, you are playing with fire. I'm not saying every time they're on the internet, you got to be sitting there looking over their shoulder, but I am saying there needs to be a place of accountability in the home, because parents, don't miss this. Until children reach an age of maturity where they can make wise decisions about guarding their own hearts, God has entrusted you as mom and dad with the responsibility of guarding their heart. That's your job. Don't play that off. Don't ignore that. Don't throw that away. God's entrusted to you that life. And one of the responsibilities God's given you with that entrustment is guarding their heart. Don't throw them to the enemy. Never allow unsupervised access. Number two. Always filter your content. Get a filter. Filter your content. Number three, establish accountability with somebody you can trust. I have at least two people in my life who have unlimited access to everything I see on the internet. You know why? Because we need accountability in our lives. Every one of us. I want to show you a verse that Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Look at it on the screen. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Get accountability established. Find somebody you can trust. And hold each other accountable concerning the internet. There are programs you can get that'll, in a month's time, send every website you've been to another friend. And they can send all of theirs to you as a point of accountability. Number four, if you're already in trouble, seek help. It's not too late. We have small groups in our church where you can get connected and they can help you walk through issues of struggle like this in your life. If you're already in trouble, get help. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the enemy confuse you. Don't let him guilt you. Get help. Let me give you a key verse. Psalm 101 verse 2. Look what it says. I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. You know what the word integrity means? It means who you are when nobody else is looking. When it's just you and the computer screen and the mouse, that's integrity. You know what this ought to become? This ought to become a prayer. Ah, God, help me to walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. God, help me to set no worthless thing before my... Listen, that's a challenge in the city of Las Vegas. It's a challenge to keep your gaze fixed straight in front of you. And again, don't mishear what I'm saying. This is not a spirit of legalism. It says, here's what you don't do. No, no, you're missing it. The Bible says, Proverbs says, keep my commandments and live. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But if you allow all these influences in your life, it will negatively impact you and rob you of the joy of the life that God has for you. Let me give you the third one. We just got to mention this one and I'm finished. The feet. Not only do I guard my ears, what I listen to, guard my eyes, what I look at, but I guard my feet where I go. Look at verse 26 and 27. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. The writer of Proverbs is reminding us that there are places as a follower of Jesus I don't belong. Places I shouldn't go. We often put ourselves in situations and then wonder why we didn't have the strength to avoid temptation. Listen to this statement. Sometimes the greatest way to avoid temptation is avoid the situation. Just don't go. Don't put yourself in that position. Let me give you the key verse. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That word walk there means to live one's life, but it also means to walk. The writer of Proverbs is saying, man, the places that I go, the place that my feet take me, ought to please the Lord. It means, does it honor God? You see, a lot of times I think we ask the wrong question. Here's the question. Lord, would you be okay with this? It's the wrong question. The question ought to be, God, does this honor you? You see, sometimes our heart attitude about sin is kind of like, if this platform right here is the edge of sin, here's the question we ask. Lord, how close can I get and still be all right? When our heart attitude ought to be, God, help me to so guard my heart that I avoid the very appearance of evil. That's wisdom. Does it please the Lord? Then he says here that it ought to bear fruit, and that fruit is Christ's life being manifest in it. Are the places that I'm going demonstrating His life in me? Then he says, I ought to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Are the places that I'm going causing me to increase in the fullness of the knowledge of God, grow in who Christ is? You say, how do we do this? How do I practically apply this principle in my everyday life? How do I practice this? I mean, we're talking about what we listen to, what we look at, where we go. I mean, that's some in-depth stuff. Well, let me give you two guiding principles. Number one, you practice this based on intimacy with God. You see, it's why getting up in the morning and setting aside some time to spend with God is so important. You see, when the heart is fixed on God, it doesn't stray. But when temptation comes, it's too late to fix your heart on God. It's important in the morning to spend time with God and to seek God and to ask God to guard your heart. One of the practices that I try to do in my life on a daily basis, and I'm not perfect at it, but I actually go through a routine with the Lord in the morning where I say, God, today I give you my hands, my ears, my eyes, my mind, my mouth, my feet. Lord, as instruments of righteousness today for your name's sake. Why? Because I know I need Him to guard my heart. It begins in intimacy with God in the morning, and then as you live your life day in and day out, moment by moment, you sense your eyes begin to wander and you say, oh God, don't let me put any worthless thing before my eyes. See, it's not a once-for-all battle. It's a moment-by-moment battle. You find yourself listening to something, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh God, God, let my ears be filled with the thoughts of who You are. Lord, don't let me allow deceitful speech and devious talk into my ears. Intimacy with God. Here's the second one. Accountability with others. I said it a moment ago, but I want to emphasize it as we close. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I challenge you. Every Christian ought to have somebody in your life that you trust that on a weekly basis is asking you the hard questions. I have some people that I meet with every week, and we go through the hard questions. They're helping to examine my life. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. Two are better than one. They have a good return for the labor. Woe to the one who, when he falls, there's not another to pick him up. Intimacy with God. Accountability with others. Why? Because I'm to guard my heart. Because it affects everything else I do. And that's what the book of Proverbs has to say about guarding your heart.